He said, you even thinking about dying?
That was from 1996 when two master congueros, that's people who play the congas, Poncho Sanchez and Mongo Santa Maria, teamed up on Conga Blue. It's the title track of their Poncho's 1996 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we pick up from where we left off with each other yesterday. So where did we leave off each other yesterday? Anyway, yes, it was quite a day. We had quite a workout yesterday. But today I want to draw your attention to something else and hope that we can follow through on it. And the question I ask you today is, are we doomed to two-party politics? We are in a pickle and have been for many years now. We're not in the Republican camp, many of us, and we don't want to be. The Democrats take us for granted, and third parties are in a state of disarray. And besides that, they don't show any particular interest in courting our vote. What, nobody likes us? Are we chopped liver? What's the deal here? So we end up always having to settle for something. But it really sticks in your craw, doesn't it? Especially in an election year like this, where the choices are very stark. I don't see that there is a, you know, you spend a lot of time thinking about the fine details of where Trump differs with Biden and where Biden differs with Trump. But we seem to be in, once again, in this eternal political vortex that we have been living in for so many years, forced to make decisions we'd rather not make. And that is because we are without the means, it seems, the vehicles to take us where we need to go. And by that I mean the political parties that one would think would be so enthusiastic about courting this huge vote out there that for all intents and purposes has not made a decision, because it is so hard to make a decision when you have to choose between the lesser of two evils and the evil of two lessers. This is not the way politics is supposed to work. So I ask you today, are we doomed to two-party politics? Is this where it's at? Every election year, it's the Democrats versus the Republicans. Oh, I'm sorry, you're hearing noise, and that's because, well, they always make noise right where my apartment is, and they're doing a washing of the exterior of the building, heavy washing. So we may hear some noise from time to time, but it shouldn't divert us from what we are talking about. So what is going on? How do you assess the situation? Why is it that the third parties, or third parties should be on board by now to interest us in what they have to say? But they're not there. They're not present. And we may have to go hunting to find a party that might be compatible with what we're thinking. Is this an awful place to be? Is this an awful decision that you have to make? Because you just can't stand the Republicans. And increasingly, you can't stand the Democrats either. So where does that leave us? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. It's every election year in the past so many years, we end up at this point where we can't figure out where our party is. What is our party? And why are they not making the effort to make themselves known? Is there a reason that they don't make an effort to reach out and say, well, it's not like we have a lot of money. We don't have much money. We can't afford the big ads. We can't afford the outreach that these corporate parties can afford. But here is where we are. This is our thinking, and we would like you to come with us. What is going on? Is it to be the eternal situation that at election time, it's the Democrats or the Republicans? Isn't that exciting in this day and age? Jay from New York, you start us off today.
Hey, you, Therese, how you doing? How's everything going? You have any lentil soup lately?
I'm making some today.
Sounds good to me. Sounds so good to me. You know, can't give up your lentil soup even in a little bit of warm weather. That's why there's fans.
It's 105 degrees.
Hey, gotta have your lentil soup. Listen, you, Therese, I just feel that the Democratic Party feels that they have the vote of people of color and others at this time because of the pandemic of Donald Trump. I think that they're not going about the business at hand of offering us anything to make us really want to vote for Biden. I had the opportunity to listen to Joe Biden's wife today on The View. And let me say this to you. Everybody need to watch that segment of her talking about what her husband has to offer and what her husband has to give to America. And let me tell you something. If I had to have somebody like that to explain what is my qualifications and what I have to give, I would give it up. But in these trying times, people are able to get away with this foolishness. Because listen, Joe Biden is not a serious, viable candidate. And I just hope that he picks the right VP so that in a year or two, he can just step away from the job. Because he's going to be probably more of a disaster than Donald Trump ever was. Because the first thing he's probably going to
do is not a serious candidate.
Because he doesn't seem to me to be really one who's fit for the job. I don't think that he really has an agenda to move forward as a Democratic Party separated from trying to do kumbaya with the Republican Party, trying to do like Obama did, capitulate to them, work with them, and all of that. You can't deal with these type of individuals at this time with the crises that's going on. If
okay.
you will notice,
go ahead.
If you will,
go ahead.
If you will notice, if he does get in office, there's no agenda that he's putting forward on what he's going to do in, let's say, his first 100 days. Nobody has a clue, honestly, on what he's going to try to do and accomplish. One would probably think the first thing he would do is try to mend fences with the Republican Party, which to me would be a total disaster, because they're going to behave probably worse towards him than they did towards Obama, because they know he's not going to be a two-term president because of the simple fact of his age. So, I mean, you know, the crisis that the country is going through economically is going to cause all sorts of problems. So I just don't know what type of fix we really are. And then on top of this, lastly, the Democratic Party is not doing, I believe, the necessary research to know community. They're not putting forward a narrative on why he should be the president and how the party will move forward in improving the conditions of all Americans. Citizens, they're not doing anything to me to show that they're trying to win these so-called swing states. I mean, to me, it's just a disaster. I don't see what Tom Perez and the DNC is doing to bring people out really to vote. They're doing it all to me. It seems predicated on the nonsense of Trump, and that to me is not going to win it.
You make a very, very good point. Thanks for calling in and getting us started today. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, you Trees. How are you?
Okay, how are you doing, Ed?
Well, you know, me and my thumbs.
still
hanging tough, hanging on.
Hanging in there by your thumbs.
Hanging tough, hanging on. To your question, let's be realistic. This political system is a piece of garbage. It's a broken machine. And the only way we're going to be free of it is to burn it down and destroy it. That's the only way. And people have got to make the decision to go through the uncomfortability of the destruction. Too many people profit from the status quo on both sides of the coin. And too many people find it easier to complain and be comfortable than to deal with the fire that you got to create when you want a real revolution. Change is difficult. Change isn't easy. I speak from personal experience. I've had several situations in my life dealing with addiction and other things where to make it, sometimes you got to be like Fannie Lou Hammond said, you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the American people are not there yet. They're coming close, but they're not there yet. Because this thing is a numbers game. It's a money game. Too many people benefit from things deemed just as they are. There are too many poverty pimps. Too many people, too many organizations make money off of the misery of other people. And until you break that grip, you're never going to change. And you got to be, and it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard. It's going to be horrific. But the only way a seed dies. That seed dies and a plant grows. You got to be ready to die. And the American people are not ready. They're getting there, but they're not ready yet.
Let's say that I agree with you, but at the same time, it is a longer-term view. We don't have that much time before the election. Your concerns as things are shaping up or have been shaping up? Do you feel the same way that I do? That I'm sick and tired of the having to choose between, you know, bad and worse. That's not a choice to me. And we seem to end up almost pleading for the Democratic Party to do something a little bit different and recognize there are millions of people out here who are waiting for a signal from them that they understand what politics is. And they understand what the people want them to do. And it's time to get to it.
you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I'm going to tell you why. You're not dealing with individuals that have any morals or any character. Well, I don't even think they have the cognitive ability to realize what the real people want. Washington is such a tight bubble, and politics has become such a, from public service to self-aggrandizement, that I don't think they even can comprehend it. I mean, the whole thing you talked about yesterday, you know, of course that was, of course it's racist too. We're looking for a black woman. Like you said, a lot of black men are looking for a black woman. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? you're talking nonsense. And for a political party to say that, for political officials to go with that, shows how blind they really are and how they're playing. This isn't about politics anymore. It's a cult of personality. And they play to what they feel is going to sell. Like in the news, if it bleeds, it leads. If we think we'll sell it, we'll sell it. Like I said, I'm not going to be surprised if Michelle Obama isn't on the Biden ticket. That wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you're not dealing with people that are capable of the intellectual, moral independence that you talk about. So it's a waste of time. I mean, these people can't see it because they're too wrapped up in themselves. They're not public servants.
So if we go with this explanation, it's a very valid explanation that you offer us today. Does that mean there isn't any hope for real politics to get the millions of people who have been left behind or left out completely?
On a national level, I don't think so, because there isn't a national organization that really can represent John Q. Public. On a local level, yes. I vote down ballot. In any election, I vote down ballot. Like I always say, like W.T. Fields, all politics is local. And I think that just like if you look at Canada, for example, how they got national health care, it started off in the provinces, which are the equivalent of the states in the United States. It started off in the provinces. It built momentum until the national Canadian government had to say, hey, look, the people want this. Every province is doing it. We got to accept it. That's the only way you're going to force a hand. And it's a long process. Politics is not some, you know, flash in the pan, ego garbage. It's a long process. It takes education and agitation. And you just got to accept it. Until you're ready to go through that uncomfortability, you're always going to be sat with these pathetic choices.
Well, thank you for your words of encouragement.
It is what it is.
I think I'll slit my wrists right now.
but you
make some very valid points. Absolutely. You make very valid points. And I think part of what the job is to let the parties know that they've blown it and we are moving on. We're moving on with new ideas and new plans and new affiliations because they're not doing the job. They have made themselves almost irrelevant. And we have seen it, though.
Personally, they are irrelevant. I mean, there is no political apparatus in this country that speaks to my needs or speaks to my community's needs. And, you know, like I said, it's time to shut it down. It is definitely time to shut it down. But when people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll see. We saw evidence of it now with the confluence of George Floyd and the coronavirus. We're seeing evidence of it now. We've seen evidence of it at Occupy Wall Street, which I was involved with. And one day it's all going to come together and smack this piece of garbage right into the ground.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for calling in and contributing. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Ms. Lead. I'm so glad you brought this topic up because I have for all my life, my long life, been astonished at how people will go along with the systemic election business, which it is in the United States. It's billions of dollars in profit by the people who engineer elections. It's a really transparent capitalist racket. And so the setup is for all voters at all levels is this is what you're told. If you don't vote, well, then you can't say anything because you didn't vote. If you vote but your candidate loses, well, you can't say anything because your candidate lost. If you vote and your candidate wins but they don't do what you elected them to do, well, you can't say anything because you voted for them. This is a completely transparent fraud and always has been. I mean, voting goes back hundreds of years. It's out of date. They used to have elections in the old Soviet Union, too, you know. It was just that the Politburo picked all the candidates. Now go vote for whoever you like. The Politburo gets whatever it wants. Well, in the United States, Wall Street picks them. The rich pick them. Now go vote for whoever you like. The rich are going to get served regardless of who you vote for, and that's at every single level. The real problem is we're taught to look at personalities and groups and events, but we're blind to systems. And this is a system that has been in control of the elite rich for a very long time. And the unfortunate fact of it is if tomorrow you were able to establish a government of, say, all people of color from the working class and the poor, and they set up their own legislative councils and their own parliament and all that stuff, based on the principles of equality and all of that, in the system we have, in a very short time, they would become determined aristocrats. They would be, in a short time, they would worship the principle of authority and become oppressors and exploiters, just like every class in power we've ever had. That's the problem, as far as I see it. The problem is we don't have a system that comes from an organic development of what people want. It's not built from below upward. We don't need anybody, even from our own neighbors, who become wards over us or guardians over the masses by a tiny minority. It doesn't matter what their intentions are. If you're in this system, the iron logic of authority and capital will drive you to become a despot. This is why we abandon our responsibility to create a society that's worth living in and put it on people who are either experts, they're not experts, they're leaders, or they're not leaders. These are imaginary concepts. We're responsible here, in my estimation. Eugene Debs told a group of people in the early 20s, I committed it to memory long ago, he said, "I am not a labor leader. I do not want you to follow me or anyone else. If you need a Moses to lead you out of the capitalist wilderness, you will stay right where you are. I would not lead you into such a promised land if I could, because if I could lead you in, someone else could lead you out." That's the real dilemma as I see it. People have been voting their whole life long, and it's had absolutely no effect in material circumstances. Every improvement in U.S. history was brought about by often violent agitation from the population, and power had to go along. They were forced to do it. That's the history of the civil rights movement, the labor movement, the women's movement, all of it. That's the only way things happen. And eventually we should be smart enough, mature enough to get the insight that we are responsible for setting up a system that we, not by voting, but by a consensus. The idea is we keep working on the problem until we come up with a way forward that we can all agree to go ahead with. That doesn't mean we're 100% for every aspect of it, but we have a direction that we're willing to go ahead in, or an outline, and then we go from there. But the job is ours. We never get to relax and just go get involved in trivialities for the rest of our lives and let somebody else do it. That's the problem. That's what brought us here. I'd be interested.
Okay, I say to everything you have said so far, amen. Those are words of wisdom. But let me ask you a very brief question. And it is one about pragmatism.
Mm-hmm.
Should people nonetheless, with all that you have said, is there either time or opportunity to put in place something from among all of the things that you said that could help us break this vortex that we're in by Election Day?
By Election Day? almost certainly not. The system is set up so that there is no strategy that will allow you to penetrate or control it. That's what the two-party system was set up for. If you start, say, the idea of a third party, and there have been several in U.S. history, you know, the populists and the progressives in the 1920s. Well, once you get a grassroots following, there are enough people paying attention. One or the other party's job is to co-opt the movement. They go to the movement and they say, look, we completely understand your goals. We're completely sympathetic and we're down with that. But we have all this money and all these resources. Let us fight the battle for you. And then the original movement disappears.
That's the kiss of death.
That's the kiss of death, always. And this is what happened to all these movements that have started in the past. The capitalist system and the political arm of it, which is what our government is trained and has hundreds of years of experience in co-opting and redirecting any movement out of the people. And that's because we don't have the ability to organize ourselves. We're always waiting for somebody else to do it. So the thing you can do before the election is you don't even have to start in your own neighborhood with a community or something. Start in your own family. Don't appoint yourself as the authority. That be authoritative, provide guidance if people want it, provide advice if you're asked for it, but it's important never to internalize the idea that I am the authority and others must do what I say because I'm the authority.
Absolutely. We have to watch out for that, because that itself
right.
is an addiction. Thank
right.
you so much.
Just...
Your words of wisdom today definitely need to be heard. Leona right. from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, Utrice.
Thank you. To you too.
Yes, thank you. In terms of the question on the table today, if I understand it correctly, I'm reminded of what Dick Gregory said, about how if you choose between the lesser of the two evils, it's because you yourself are evil. And I'm also reminded of something James Baldwin, it's attributed to him saying, similar vein, but, you know, it's no choice to choose between, forgive the crassness, between syphilis and gonorrhea. That's not a choice. I believe that this, this system that we live under, the system of racism, white supremacy, okay? Now, and thank you for bringing up that question about the black females only black females need apply for the vice president slot on the Joe Biden ticket. Yeah, as far as I know, you are the only person I've heard raise that question about the correctness or incorrectness of that stance.
Thank you.
And I believe that that's a sure way to keep Donald Trump in office, to put a black woman on that ticket, put any black person on that ticket, because that's how Donald Trump got in office in the first place, with black Barack Obama in office. He got elected immediately after, you know, the so-called first black president in response to that. I also want to say that here in Michigan, from my point of view, putting a black person on the top of a ticket is something that the leadership of the Michigan Democratic Party does quite often and quite regularly. In fact, Michigan has a black lieutenant governor as I speak. I rarely hear from the guy, but, you know, we're not on a personal basis anyway. But, Michigan got a, you hear about Gretchen Whitmer, but Michigan has a black, what do you call him? Assistant governor? Vice governor?
Lieutenant governor.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, right. And I've been to Michigan Democratic Party conventions, and I've seen that thing in operation. They try to put a black face in a high place to get that black vote out of Detroit, which is, you know, I've seen it, I'll put it that way. So the other thing...
Are we destined to be, those of us who are neither Republican nor Democrat, are we destined to be in this netherworld, in this world of no true definition, politically speaking?
Not necessarily. No. We have choices, and I believe it's true when folks say, you know, you have a choice to, at least basically four choices. You can submit to this system. You can cooperate with this system, you can resist this system, or you can destroy this system, I guess. Put energy into one of those four things at any point in time, submitting to it, cooperating with it, resisting it, or working to destroy it and replace it with something better.
Hmm. What do you think is going to happen on Election Day, as we approach Election Day? Would there be any new ground broken in terms of, as you would see it, in terms of people's recognition that this is, there's much to be desired other than what we've been getting so far?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand the question. Could you give me that one more time?
Well, we're having an election in a short time.
Yes, ma'am.
We fall into the same formula. You choose to be Republican, or you choose, to vote for the Democratic candidate, and then it's over. And then we would have fulfilled our political destiny. But you're saying something else. Do we have any time to enact any part of what it is you say?
Yes, ma'am, I think so. If we're alive and breathing at this moment, there's a chance. Yes, ma'am. If we're still breathing, there's a chance.
If we're still breathing, there's a chance.
Yes, ma'am. Because, see, this is the man-made BS. This is not something divinely ordained, this system. And if it's man-made, it can certainly be replaced by something else that man makes or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is not ordained by the gods, this unjust way of being. Good Lord. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Now, I think it's maybe 125, 130 days until the so-called election. And, well, it is what it is. Sometimes I think the Republicans...
It is, to me, it is so insane that a country supposedly so advanced, with all these great ideas and all these great people and so forth, and we stuck every election year. We stuck between Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
Excuse me. Yes,
but
ma'am.
Thank you, Leona, for calling in and for contributing today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yatrice.
David, thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm getting right to the point. The system is working perfectly. It's working perfectly for those who rule it. The system, since its inception with the Constitution, the ruling class at that time made up the Constitution and made up this type of government. It's not a parliamentary system, and it's up to the highest level now. Because it's doing exactly what those who own it want it to do. If people are walking around talking about, what's good for the people and all that sort of thing, that's ridiculous. Because the system is not made to do good for the masses of people. It's made to keep the leadership in the hands of the ruling class that controls it. So, it's wishful thinking that with this type of system where you have one single party with its two divisions to do something that is really in the interests of the masses of people. It's not made to do that, so it's working fine for those people who own it lock, stock, and barrel. So in terms of the people, if they go along with the okey-doke of better of two evils, that'll get you nowhere. That is totally useless. You've got to do something different. And you've got to understand the system you're living in and do whatever you can to resist it, to hurt those who rule in the pocketbook, and overturn this system that does not work and will never, never, ever work for the people as it is in effect right now. It's not going to work. So occasionally they will throw out the meat, bones with some meat on it, and then take it back, and that's all you're going to get. But you're not going to have this system work for the good of the people.
Now, suppose I ask, how do you apply what you just said? What would a person therefore consider doing come election day?
Well, for me, there's only a couple things you can do on election day. You can resist voting for one of the two evils. That's a possibility. Or if you're in a non-battleground state, you can vote for a third, non-viable third party, because there are no viable third parties, or you can not vote at all, and that's the type of thing that you possibly can do on election day. But the point is, to change the system would require a lot more. It would require things outside this bogus task of voting for corrupt people who are all in the pocket of those who rule. That would mean attacking in terms of economically those people who control the society and leaning on them that way, and civil disobedience and that type of thing. So the system is not going to change by what you vote for in the Congress, the clerks that sit in the Congress, on other branches of the government. So it'll have to be much more than going down and voting, as they tell you. Oh, you just go to vote. But the point is, when you just go to vote and vote for the lesser of the two evils, it's going to stay that way, and you're never going to get out of the hole that those who rule want to keep the masses of people in so they can become richer and richer.
Thank you, David. Thanks for your collection, your contribution today. Thank you. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Greetings, Etrice.
Hello. What are your thoughts on this question?
After the last three calls, I don't have much to add because they were so efficient. Leona, I always enjoy her. She's a very wise woman. Always enjoy her calls. And, of course, David from Brooklyn. I watched the four episodes over the weekend, and I was so happy to see him in real life. And a man that's closing in on 90, you could say he could be in his 50s, 60s. Incredible. Power to your brother, David. Anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
And
that's it.
Well, it's like we're brainwashed and we're being funneled like a river. Sometimes they dam us up and have us like all in a query, and then they allow us to go this way and that way. But we're being funneled into whatever decisions that are best for the ruling class. That's where they're funneling us to, and we don't even realize it. We think we have our own minds, and I think it stems from the diet, to tell you the truth. People that seem to eat better and a pure diet seem to have a higher expectation of their selves. They're more spiritual people, so they don't allow themselves to be funneled and brainwashed like that. So somebody said a quote, a society of sheep begets a government of wolves. So I think this is what we have here. You know, they're just ravenous wolves that want all the money, all the power, and they want us gone. And they're not satisfied with those three things. They want us to do the gunning for them. They want us to be fighting with each other, killing each other for their pleasure, like the Romans in the Colosseum with the Christians and the lions and the gladiators. It's the same history is repeating itself in the 2020s. It's, you know, you have a choice, Etrice. If you choose not to be involved in this nonsense, it's still a choice. You know, you still made a choice. There's nothing that says that you have to do this, you have to do that. You have to make a commitment to yourself, and you have to have ethics. And if you see something that doesn't make any sense, and you're the only one that seems to want to question these things, and everybody else seems to be afraid to, I think the best thing to do is not partake in this and find other avenues of things to enjoy in life.
Well, thank you. That too is a contribution. That too is something that we should ponder. I like the fact that you presented it to us that way. Thank you so much, E. Nathaniel from South California. Sorry.
Hi. Good greetings to you and your audience, Etrice.
Thank you. And to you, too.
Yes. Thank you. Quickly, just want to say that in order to change the election situation that we have in this country, we have to realize something that's embodied in this quote from someone. I don't know who said it. The saying is, the tyrant doesn't mind if you hate him because he knows that you hate each other. Okay. That's the tyrants in the office, the 1%, 2%, 3%, or whatever they are. They don't mind that we hate them and want them out because they know we are not organized and we hate each other. And we have to counteract that very thing, that one very thing, in order to change our situation. We have to control it. We have to realize, the masses have to realize that they are the force that can change, but they won't be able to change it as long as they have racism in their hearts and hate for each other in their hearts. We have to elect candidates that do not take corporate money, progressive candidates, and do not vote for candidates taking corporate money. Those are the changes that I think that can allow us, not in the very near future, but it could happen, to change things. That's my opinion. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your contribution today. Thank you all. This was a deep session today, and I can't say I disagree with anyone's opinion today, because what you have been saying and what you said today was so profound. And the value is in listening to each other, because the information is right here. We have a full banquet from which to choose, because everything said today was relevant. Everything said today was on point, and we should take to heart what people are saying, which is, do your own thing, do your own thinking, look at the system itself, and what it suggests about what it can do for you. And if you look closely enough, you see, the answer is not much. Not in the way I want to be helped. Not in the way I want my neighbors to be helped. Not in the way I want my community to be helped. It is just the ritual. Every 4 years, we are chased to the voting station, and our job is to register some kind of a vote. And they tell you, you know, if you're smart, you'd vote for this person or for that person. But we have to develop, it seems to me, a far more insightful way of regarding this business called the vote. I've shared with you that I stopped voting for a long time. I used to be so enthusiastic about voting that invariably I would be among the first to arrive at the polling site. And I sat down one day and I thought about this whole thing. This isn't making sense at all. I come from a very politically aware family. My father was a very politically active man. And so I grew up with a sense of the things that politics can do, and the reason that you could harness the energy of politics to get those things done. But it just never worked. And then I was in the voting booth. That's the time they had booths with the thing that sounded like a hangman's noose. And they were expecting me and all other voters to approve a multi-billion dollar project that wasn't discussed at all. And it was described in four lines. Four lines. And as a voter, you were expected to vote yes or no. And I said, well, this is the last time I'm going to be voting, being insulted this way. My intelligence is insulted this way. You expect me to vote yes or no on a multi-billion dollar project? And it is described in exactly four lines, and I'm supposed to vote yes or no. That did it to me. I said, that's the end of it. I will not be insulted this way as a voter ever again. And I stopped. I have begun to rethink whether this is the year I resume the vote, my voting. And I couldn't find a good reason except that Trump must be defeated. But then I look at the Democrats and I said, what is the alternative that you're offering? Just say no and that's it? Oh no, it's not going well with me right now as I ponder this question. So it gives me great comfort to hear your thinking today. And it's very profound. Let's be very clear about that. And I thank you for trusting or entrusting your thoughts with all of us so that we can see things in a new light, perhaps, and giving us more information about things that we need to ponder in connection with this thing called the vote. Thanks so much. We'll see each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.